Hello and welcome to the Hindsight Podcast. As we count down to the 2019 Ballon d'Or Awards, the nominees, the votes, its allocations and misallocations, post-award debates, conspiracy theories and controversies, the conversation ensues as to who should win the most coveted individual prize in football. While the award recognizes the best male football player over the course of the calendar year, thus creating a tough window for assessment, the back half of the 2018-19 season, any summer international tournaments, and the first portion of the 2019-20 campaign. Well, here on the Hindsight Podcast, we thought to roll it a decade back and rank the world's top 20 footballers in their peak years over a 10-year window. And surely we hear you asking, on what basis, what are the criteria, and why rank the players at all? Well, something tells me at the end of the podcast, those questions would have been answered, or maybe not. Well, whatever the case may be, we won't be too far off as we've got the benefit of hindsight. So here are the ground rules for ranking the world's top 20 footballers over the last 10 years. Number one, this ranking only captures peak performances over the last decade. For clarity, we're ranking the best football players between 2010 to 2019. Number two, the players must have had five or more consecutive peak years within the last decade. And finally, number three, the player must have had some incredibly outstanding performances. Well, someone called it the editor's pick. Well, it's a tricky period to, of course, rank the players, but it does somewhat coincide with the genesis of Messi, Ronaldo, that duopoly, which makes us even more interested to find out the actors in the sporting cast over the last couple of years. And joining me on this podcast, Solis Chukwu, my colleague Mark DeBoss, aka Cerebron, Olakunle Rufai, not quite here today, but he was also a part of the rankings. The mastermind, who of course did also play a massive part in the rankings. But of course, Alexis obviously is on the podcast today. He all put it together, and he is a humble personality who of course became a fiery tiger in ranking the players itself. Well then, my name is Yubin Dunofit, your host for today. And gentlemen, we're about to get into the rankings for the top 20 footballers over the last decade or thereabouts. Welcome along to the Hindsight Podcast. It's good to have each and every one of you here today. And we're certainly in for a tough task ahead of us, gentlemen. Then, of course, we've got to move on to, I think we've got to pick number 14 then. When you think about Ian Robin on the list?
I know this one, I'll jump in here. I think Ian Robin genuinely should be in the top 10. I think 14 is way too low for Ian Robin. I think he should be in the top 10 without a doubt.
Yeah.
If we are going to go number 14.
Is Luka Modric on the list?
In fact, if you asked me.
I'll put him in the top 5.
Ask me.
I'll put him in the top 5.
If Robin. After Ronaldo and Messi, for me, Robin. Sounds absurd because, of course, the last few years, there was a decline and all that. But the Robin of the first half of this decade, I genuinely think he has been the second, the third best player of the Ronaldo-Messi
I have two
era.
Things against Robin. Just two things against Robin. First is that the Champions League final against Chelsea, which I feel we should have done more. And missed a crucial penalty.
Yeah.
And also the World Cup final against Spain. He had 4-1-1 situation with. No, it was 4.
No, it wasn't 4.
It was 2-2.
It has a 4-1-1.
Right.
No, if it was 4, you would have been stoned.
So he had 2 with Casillas and should have done better.
To be fair, on one of those, he was fouled by Puyol.
Yes. He was pulled back.
Threw him off his game. And then Casillas came. And it was hard to really slot that in. But if you're holding that against. Robin, then there are many times that we can hold things against you. I mean, the untouchable.
I mean,
Messi and Ronaldo.
I know Robin did more than a penalty
against Chelsea in 2012 to even get to the final.
I don't
think a player like Robin should be held.
Robin did more than 30 games this season, though.
Especially when.
Bundesliga is 34 games.
Especially when you.
I mean, all season. Like,
especially when you look at the fact that.
Any season. No.
You can say about Robin that okay he missed the penalty in the final, but the very next season he scored the winner.
He walked that back.
It's almost a one of a one.
The Champions League run, because you know we're looking from January 2010.
Yeah.
That means part of 2009, 2010 come in. That's the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Now that season was then Bayern got to the final where they ran.
And Robin carried them all the way through.
Ran through Lyon.
Yeah.
I felt like that year, combining World Cup plus everything, Robin was
amazing.
It was just
I've gotta agree, but that's a conversation for
yeah,
later.
For later on in the list.
What you make of Edinson Cavani then? We've got to pick number 14 then.
Number 14.
Silva, and I love him.
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
We seem to all have different candidates for number 14.
Because when you think about Silva. I'll make my arguments regarding Silva. Mm. I love Silva, right? Mm-hmm. I absolutely love him. But there's always the feeling that he didn't quite reach the levels he was capable of. They were calling this guy Little Messi or the slow Messi.
I totally agree.
And to be honest, he really was that guy, you know, before Manchester City. I think, of course, he may have been affected by the fact that Yaya was moved into that hole and he had
which is another conversation we would have after this list, because Yaya is in here.
So Silva had to, you know, adapt. He had that absolutely amazing 2012 year that didn't even result in a nomination for Ballon d'Or, but we're seeing Balotelli on the list. Silva was, for Spain in the 2012 Euros, he was a top two player with Iniesta. In the Premier League, he had the most assists, drove masked the title along with the other guys, the other big shots like Aguero, Tevez at the end, and all that. And for all of that, and I think he had the most goal involvements at Euros. He had the highest assist in the Premier League, and he was, of course, a nominee for Player of the Year. And in fact, he was an early favorite for Player of the Year that season until maybe February when, you know, things started to change.
Yeah.
And yet, he didn't even get a Ballon d'Or nomination. Like, he didn't enter top 23.
It's interesting because he almost is the opposite of the analysis Sol is made for Ozil. The teams never had to adjust to have him in the team.
Yeah.
He was almost got to put him there and adapt the team around him.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah. So he never really made the team weak. Yeah. I remember for Spain, he was playing false nine at some point in time. For Manchester City in the latter years, like we've seen, he plays in central midfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's almost the opposite of what Sol said.
But I do want to now, the reason why I'm now saying he should be 14th and not higher is that when you look at some of the years that Silva had, he had some decline years before Pep came. I think 14, 15. Which ironically was the season when he scored 12 league goals, which was the highest in Manchester City. But in his overall game, it seemed to be in a decline, and people were saying, oh, David Silva is finished. As at 15, 16, everyone said, well, Silva is getting old and he's finished. Of course, it's credit to him that he's been able to reinvent himself and last this long. But I think also sometimes he gets a pass when he's not, you know, amazing. And when I also think about it, how many great Champions League performances of David Silva?
I think
the World Cup,
Aguero,
it will always count against them.
City as a team
could not, because they needed time to really establish themselves in Champions League.
So it was a big leap. But I think the World Cup and the Euros adequately suffice for Champions his deficiencies League. In Silva, Champions League. So he wasn't a local champion in any regard.
Yeah, but in the World Cup, remember that he was benched for most of it. After the first game against Switzerland, he was the scapegoat. And Pedro came in, Navas came in, but it was until the semis before he even got to play again. I think it was the end of the semis and he didn't play the final. So in terms of contribution to that tournament, as much as I feel...
How about the other 2 Euros, which they won?
Yeah.
He was key in those 2 Euros.
Yeah, especially the first one. The first one is
one of them is not in this decade,
unfortunately.
So when you put it that way, then, is it fair to put him on number 14? You've got Sergio Kun Aguero on the list. You've got Edinson Cavani. You've got Dani Alves.
Ramos.
You've got Ramos on the list.
Marcelo.
I think 14 is fair.
Yeah.
I think that's about fair. He makes a good case. He talked about 2010, even, you know, 2014. Spain,
2014, that was when he was supposed to step in and elevate his team.
Spain needed him to step in when Xavi and Iniesta, but he didn't quite pick up the baton like he should have. So Yeah.
I would have to be fair, I think it's 14 is not a bad place to put David Silva, but then if you've got to put Marcelo higher.
We'll come to Marcelo. I genuinely think Marcelo should be higher.
Should be higher. Yeah. Should be so higher. Number 14 does it for David Silva. Just great for David Silva.
Modric would have to come next. I'm sorry, but
I agree. I agree with that.
Modric has to. Ballon d'Or winner.
I agree with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I mean,
in 2018,
undeserved.
That was just. I mean, it was just a propaganda to break the duopoly.
Yeah.
It wasn't like
yeah.
Because yeah. If the Ballon d'Or became an award for individual performances, it wasn't like a team player award again. Because I mean, Fola should have won it. Shinana should have won it as well.
2010.
Yeah. So.
Xavi.
Yeah, Xavi, Iniesta. So, I mean, having to change...
Ribery? No.
Having to change the yardstick for Modric to win it, I mean, just because it was World Cup here.
In fact, I need to point something out about Modric from that Ballon d'Or win. The Champions League part that they like to give him credit for, along with, I won the Champions League and...
He wasn't great all the way through.
Here's the facts. First game, the first knockout game against PSG, Verratti dominated him until this man, Emery, took off Cavani. I never forget that thing. Took off Cavani, brought on Meunier and pushed Alves forward. And then Zidane took off Casemiro eventually because he felt
there's no need for
Casemiro anymore. The threat has reduced up front. And then they went on to win. So for most of that game, Verratti was actually the guy running things in that game. And Cruz was the guy stepping up for Madrid. In the second leg in PSG, Modric didn't play. He was on the bench. In the quarterfinal away at Juventus, Isco, Cruz were the guys in midfield that actually bowled. I think that was probably one of Isco's best games for Madrid. And of course, Ronaldo did
what he does.
In the second leg, it was nowhere. That was a game where they were losing 3-0. Modric was not in that game. So his performances started from the semi-finals. And if you remember, the semi-final first leg, or was it the second leg? The second leg, when they played this guy at right back, Vasquez, Modric wasn't even playing in midfield anymore that day. He was like a backup right back that day, just to make sure that Madrid... So it wasn't like he had an exceptional game. Yeah. So it was just really the first leg against Bayern in that Champions League run and the final, where Modric really played. So I feel like that's a bit of the Iniesta syndrome. Iniesta can have a pretty meh tournament, but Iniesta will turn up in the final. And then you start reviewing...
You start to doubt your own memory.
You start to doubt your own memory. You start to have that confirmation bias. Okay, maybe Iniesta has been the best player in this tournament.
Right.
Has
those key moments.
Those key moments.
So you feel Modric for number 14?
Yeah, I think 14
number
is
14.
Fine.
What works for him? How many Champions League has he won? How many Champions League titles has he won?
Three.
Four. Yeah, he won four.
Yeah, left Tottenham very early. So it's part of... He was part of
and
the...
It must be mentioned that Modric was voted the worst signing of the season within
his
decade. His first season in Madrid. Madrid
can do that to anybody, to be fair. Madrid can do that to anybody. So Modric at number 14. Then... it's funny because we've just got to refresh the memory a little bit. Number 20 sees Eden Hazard. Number 19, Giorgio Chiellini. Number 18 sees Antoine Griezmann, isn't it?
Yes.
Number 17... Who have you got there?
Ozil.
And of course, number 16, we
Giorgio Chiellini.
Kante.
Put Kante
yes.
on number
15. Was Godin.
Number 15, Godin. And
14, David Silva.
David Silva.
Was it Silva?
David Silva, 14.
Modric.
So
13.
So 13 is Luka Modric. Modric. You actually put Luka Modric's head on
the spike.
On the spike. Right then. So what? In the top 12 now, which is pretty much a game-changing territory. But just before we get into the top 10, the two people who are going to make the other lower half of the 20, we've got to pick this one very
Cavani, Cavani careful. And Cavani and Marcelo.
I think I agree with Cavani. I agree Cavani should come in.
I mean, everyone is buying his time.
Let's just put the people
in distracting us.
You might not have.
I'm waiting for
distracting us. There is still Kun Aguero on the list. There is still Marcelo.
Daniel Alves.
There is still
Daniel Alves.
There is still Manuel Neuer.
Yeah, no, Manuel Neuer top 10.
There's still Manuel Neuer.
I'm not so sure about Neuer top 10, to be honest.
There's Robert Lewandowski.
No, definitely top 10. Top 10. Come on. Right? Underrated.
You've got Neymar, certainly should be top 10. And Robin, we made a great case for him. Sergio Ramos, no?
Ramos top 10.
Yeah, Ramos top 10.
Ramos top 10. So you've got, I think, let's just narrow it down to these three players. Robert Lewandowski, Edinson Cavani.
Well, did you say Lewandowski?
Kun Aguero.
No. Okay, we could say Aguero, no. Cavani.
No, I would say Cavani, Marcelo, and...
You know why you cannot remove Cavani from the top 10? First reason. The top goal scorers of this decade, this entire decade. Messi, Ronaldo, Lewandowski, Cavani. And Lewandowski just overtook Cavani this season because Cavani has been injured. So if Cavani has scored...
Been benched by Mario
No, he was injured, that's why. He was starting at the beginning of the season. Scored two goals in three
games. He's been injured, to be fair.
Scored two goals in three games.
But then he can't get into the team right now because Icardi is playing well.
Of course. Icardi is quite a good striker,
You can't put that on
you can't disrupt stability. Just
so
like
if you want to use that as your yardstick, right?
That's not my yardstick.
So the thing about it is this. If I want to pick the strikers that scored the most goals in the Premier League in the last 4 years, I have to include Lukaku. Even though he's not...
In the last 4 years.
Yes.
Or would you have had Harry Kane also in the list?
No, I'm saying that Lukaku would be there and it would be unmerited.
Right. And even Harry Kane.
No, Harry Kane should be an argument to be in the top 20.
I don't understand the point, though.
I'm saying that...
If you want to pick the best striker,
so you're basically,
If you're basing it on goals,
no, I'm not just basing it on. That's just one point I brought out.
Right.
Okay. Now you say that I'm saying that the fourth best scorer of this decade, after the two superhumans, that's in fact. Let's if we remove the two superhumans,
right.
The second best scorer of this decade doesn't make your top 10 players of the decade. It doesn't sound right. Also, I want to make this point. In terms of, if we're going to put maybe Aguero with Cavani, for the national team...
Who's the third, by the way? Who's the third best scorer of this decade?
Lewandowski. And right. He just overtook Cavani this season. This is crazy run of form. Now, Cavani has scored 100 goals in two top five leagues this decade. 100 goals.
You've got to say it's France and where else?
Italy.
France and Italy.
Yeah.
But Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored a ton of goals in France also. Kylian Mbappe is scoring a ton of goals in France also.
Kylian Mbappe has won the World Cup. He scored four in the World Cup. Kylian Mbappe carried a Monaco team to the semi-finals of the Champions League. And he scored against... Kylian Mbappe has scored against... He has scored at the homes of Manchester City.
Wasn't it the French league that Lacazette scored a ton of goals before he moved to
Premier League? He scored 10 penalties out of 28 goals. 10. So
same,
he scored 18,
same with
and he was Nicolas a starter.
Pepe as well.
Yes, Pepe scored 9 penalties.
I'm just putting that out there because when you say the top two of the top five leagues in Europe,
yeah,
the French league doesn't it have that thing where if you're exceptionally good, then
I think to be fair, while I'm not a subscriber to the whole idea of the French league as people like to call it, the Farmers League, you do have to accept that when you're ranking the top five leagues, the French league is not exactly at the very top. But still, as a striker, the most you can do is score goals. There's really, he can't by himself raise the profile of the entire league.
And
so I don't know that I should count
against him. If we're talking about the French league like that, Kante came from a mid-table French team. Mid-table. And he came to a mid-table English team and led them to the title. That's a plus for the French league.
But
Hazard.
I thought you didn't quite agree. Led them to the title before.
He did. I just said that it just wasn't him.
Just wasn't the key.
Yeah, like,
basically.
My point is, okay, let me now give you another example for Cavani. Cavani scored hat-tricks. Let me read this out.
Cavani doesn't have any Champions League performance, really, like I remember.
What?
Yes, he doesn't.
What?
A Champions League knockout performance.
Barcelona first leg, the 4-0.
Oh, no, please.
But that tie has been eclipsed by the 6-0.
Exactly.
But he scored the goal that you are taking PSG through. PSG were getting slaughtered that day.
But you know he missed 3-0. You know he missed two chances in the 6-0.
He missed one.
No, but he scored one goal, though.
He missed one goal.
He scored the hard chance and missed the easy one.
Yeah.
It wasn't exactly easy. It was coming from the side.
This guy remembers every detail about Cavani.
Because that match has been blamed on Cavani. before, and I've had to argue.
I think it's
unfair. These people were down 3-0. They were about to blow a 4-0 lead. They needed a goal from somewhere. Cavani turned up. He gave them a goal.
So now missed one that should have.
You can make the same argument for Messi, who laid up three goal-scoring chances for Yuri Alba, Dembele, and one other player.
Messi also had this chance and he missed it.
Against Liverpool, and then they all missed it.
And Messi himself missed it.
I think we are number 13.
Right.
I'm going to take his shout for number 13, which is not Cavani. And I'm going to take Marcelo.
Number 12.
We are number 12 now.
Yeah, we are number 12.
I'll take Marcelo for number 12, personally.
No, I'm saying Cavani and... Cavani.
No, are we number 13?
No, so 14 is Silva, 13 is Modric.
Modric, so, okay. Yeah. That's number 12, yeah.
I wanted to mention one thing that you probably not allowed me to mention. Mm. Now. I have to mention it.
Final goal.
In terms of impact, now, right. Napoli were the sixth best team in Italy when Cavani got there. Napoli's top scorer the previous season had 12 goals. Napoli had not made top four in 22 years. Right? Yeah, 22 years. No, they had not won a trophy in 22 years and they had not made top four in 18 years. And in Cavani's three seasons, they came third, fifth, second. Cavani scored 30 goals, 33, 33, 38. He won them their first trophy in 22 years and established them as the second best side in Italy by the time he was leaving. 3-year work. In that time, he scored hat-tricks against Juventus, Lazio, Roma, Inter, Milan, and braces against Fiorentina and Udinese. All these teams I mentioned were top seven in the 3 years that he spent at Napoli. So against every top team in Italy that he came up against, he either scored a hat-trick or he scored a brace.
So if I want to pull up stats, right, I can have almost a replica for someone like, say, Aubameyang in the last 4 years.
Aubameyang has been fantastic.
Oh yeah, so but then Aubameyang doesn't
make the top 20.
He can't even make the top 20.
Cornerball top scorer for World Cup qualifier is Cavani.
I agree with Cavani being pushed away from number 12. I think Marcelo unanimously, you know, should make number 12.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't want Marcelo to be footnote here. Marcelo has been a genuinely wonderful, excellent player.
Yeah, I agree.
In this decade. In terms of left backs, maybe Dani Alves, who is higher on the list, but Marcelo's creativity from left back has been very crucial for Real Madrid in these their runs, because you look at the team, their midfield really has been geared towards control. So they've been very reliant, and of course Cristiano Ronaldo came into the middle and started to play as more of a striker. So they've been very reliant on Marcelo's creativity from left back, his crossing, his dribbling, even coming in field. So
he scored in Champions League final.
Yes. So this is a genuinely great player who does not deserve to just be a footnote. So that's why I thought to just put this out there. So I think number 12 is fair for Marcelo. Well,
then I think you made it amazing. But I think Kun Aguero should be outside the top 10 then.
I'll put Kun Aguero at 11. I genuinely think Dani Alves should be at number 10. We'll come to Dani Alves because that's a true.
I just have a problem with Marcelo being below Kun Aguero.
Yes.
The trouble with that is when you're talking about football, whether we like it or not, strikers will always have that currency, which is goals, which cannot be ignored. Sadly,
contributions of defenders compared to strikers.
Sadly, for even though you know it's hard to think of Marcelo purely as a defender, but you know goals are such a weight.
I think it's the biggest game player in the world. I don't think there's any big game player like that steps up like Marcelo. And that's that including Ronaldo and Messi.
Agreed now that Marcelo will be number 12.
Marcelo is number 12.
Kun Aguero 11.
Cavani over Aguero.
Cavani, yes. I think Cavani.
Cavani has done more for his country.
All right, so number 10, Cavani. So let's move on. Let's move on.
I think 10 is fair.
Let's move on. Your job here is done. You did well. Let's move on.
Fantastic stuff there. So we've got number 20 to number 10, so it's only right that we refresh from number 20. Number 20, we had Eden Hazard on number 20. We had number 19 on Jadon Sancho. Number 17.
18.
Number 18.
Number 18, saw Griezmann. Number 17, saw Mesut Ozil. Number 16, saw N'Golo Kante.
Yes, number 15, Godin.
Number 15, Godin. For just quite an amazing one. 14.
David Silva.
13,
Luka Modric. 12, Marcelo. 11, Aguero. 10, Cavani. Let's move on.
Well, then it's only right to move on then. I think it's only time, it's only right we bring in Manuel Neuer.
Manuel Neuer, number nine. Yes.
I think he can't go any further.
Yeah, you really can't rank a goalkeeper higher than that. Even like we said, he redefined the position and everything.
And Ballon d'Or.
That's in terms of contributions for a goalkeeper, that's just insane for Neuer. And yes, and he's won everything. And he had one of the most influential performances. It may sound like overstating, but one of the most influential performances by a goalkeeper this decade was the second round game against Algeria at the 2014 World Cup, when Neuer was just in his element, sweeping and
shot-stopping, controlling the area, everything.
Completely insane. He allowed Germany to play much higher up the pitch and impose their game on opponents. And this is a goalkeeper having that kind of impact on the team's attacking play, even before you get to his distribution and his shot-stopping. So, yeah.
I think worth mentioning also, Schalke got to the 2011 semi-final.
Yes, of the Champions
League.
Neuer
was very
I remember him against Manchester
United.
He was on play.
I remember Alex tried to sign.
Yeah, Fergie wanted him.
He was already promised to buy him.
So why don't we have David De Gea in this? Hasn't he quite...
In an average United team, he stood out.
Because he's been the closest name to Manuel Neuer in the last decade.
His performances are a lot weaker.
He has even lost
the international
stage.
And he hasn't had standout Champions League run or moment, you know, playing for Manchester United, unfortunately for him. So there's just
no mentions for Gianluigi Buffon.
Is old.
Yes. Buffon, the trouble is when we're doing a ranking like this, we are looking at a player's peak performance, and I generally think Buffon's peak was
the era before.
So even though he has longevity going for him into this one, but his peak was the decade before.
All right then. So number nine sees Manuel Neuer. We've got to speed it up now. I think it'll get easier as we go up, because then you've got number eight. I think it's only fair we put Dani Alves there now. I don't think a defender should get higher up than this. Even though I do not support the theory, the school of thought that defenders, you know, should be seen as second fiddle because they're actually even a part of the game. Dani Alves has been a phenomenal. When you think about the Barcelona dominant era, it's hard not to put him in there, even though he came a couple of years later.
Yeah,
he's been phenomenal, isn't it?
I think it was.
He was there. He came
from the start. He came in 2000.
I think he had Puyol at right back at some point in time.
Yeah, that was the Champions League final.
Alves was suspended.
Right. But he came in 2008. Pep signed him from Sevilla. But even before that, while he was at Sevilla,
he was genuinely one of the best players in the world.
Top two for assists in La Liga every season, something like. And then he got to Barcelona and continued it.
And went to Juventus.
And he was winning with Sevilla. Remember, he was winning the UEFA Cup back to back.
Yeah.
Winning the UEFA Super Cup, winning the Copa del Rey. Like, he was just amazing. And seamlessly entered the Barcelona team into this era and lasted almost the entire era. Just last summer.
Go ahead, sorry.
He won the best player at Copa America.
You get the feeling, even if you opened the search radius, the window, into like 15 years, he would still be the best right back.
And it's funny, I actually think if you did that, he would be higher.
Yeah.
I genuinely think he would be higher.
Right.
That.
It's an amazing rankings then. So number eight sees Dani Alves at number eight. Number seven, obviously, isn't this where we bring Lewandowski into the conversation?
Yes.
Also, we should forget that we have Sergio Ramos somewhere.
Ramos should have Lewandowski.
Yeah, okay. Ramos.
I think Ramos should have Lewandowski.
Here's my thing with Lewandowski. I think Luis Suarez should be lower than Lewandowski.
Okay.
Because Luis Suarez, you know, great at Liverpool, unfortunately didn't win the title.
It wasn't his fault, by the way.
Unfortunately, he didn't. I think he deserved it for his performance. But we have Luis Suarez at Barcelona, which is where he has spent most of the last decade. Yes, he's not quite been that same force of nature that he was at Liverpool. And his record in the Champions League in recent years has been appalling, even though he's been getting a lot of goals in the league. But often you look at the distribution of the goals and they come late on in seasons, you know, when a lot of teams have their fate decided, you know. I think
there are positives for Suarez that, like, Copa America, he was the best player.
Yes.
He's always been great with Uruguay.
You give him credit for that. For Uruguay, he's been excellent.
Those minuses are huge. Like, it's just like when people say Suarez is the best striker of our generation, I say, as much as, you know, that's a nice thing to say, I don't want a situation where the best striker of my generation has one goal in 20 sale games. Playing for Barcelona with Lionel Messi.
With Messi.
Possibly the greatest player ever. And you are giving me one goal in 20. And those key sale ties, like the two games, the two ties against Atletico, where they needed a goal.
Yes.
2014, 2016, was nowhere. 2017, when the comeback, the 6-1.
Yeah, the Montada.
I think you make a great point in the sense that, but you've got to say, Barcelona fans will tell you he's in the top five of their all-time goal scorers.
Yeah, he is.
And he's been there for how many years?
Which was what? That was
right. Aguero is Master's all-time
scorer. You know what? That makes it great. So,
and the fact that Lewandowski was part of the Dortmund team. Yeah, Dortmund team that won.
And the thing with Lewandowski is, crazy enough, he seems to be getting better somehow.
Yeah,
even no matter how dysfunctional.
He has scored 40 plus goals in 3 straight seasons.
I tell you what about Lewandowski, right? I always thought he was just really efficient in the box. When I watch him now, like Solis mentioned, he's getting past players, he's turning players,
and dropping the shoulder. And that came into play because for the Polish side, they have two other fantastic strikers. Yeah, so he plays behind them.
Yes.
Yeah, and then he's more like a playmaker.
I don't think he gets enough credit for the technical ability he's got.
He doesn't.
So I think Suarez obviously comes into number
seven
then.
Six Lewandowski.
Okay.
Five Neymar.
I think Sergio Ramos should come in before Lewandowski.
I think Ramos comes in here.
I think Ramos comes in at six.
Neymar is escaping it. Okay. All right.
I'm skeptical about Neymar a little bit because Neymar is one of these players that his greatness was almost accepted before he proved it.
Yes.
That has been my problem with Neymar.
And it still feels like unfulfilled potential.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know that
what he did
Neymar
at 2014 World Cup.
Can he get 50 assists in a season? I'm not kidding.
He has that ability in him, but he doesn't. This is not a ranking.
If this
was a ranking of ability, Neymar would be uncontestably number three.
Yeah.
But in terms of what he's actually done.
No. So number seven is Suarez. Six, Lewandowski.
I think now he's put it this way. Is it fair to put Neymar ahead of Lewandowski? When you think about a 10-year window and 5 consistent pick years.
Yeah. And with what Lewandowski did at Dortmund. They won the title back to back. 10-11.
And Neymar hasn't been particularly fantastic with Brazil either.
He was at the World Cup in 2014 before he got injured.
Yeah, but that's how many games? That's 4 games.
That's four games. I genuinely think Neymar should come in before.
And to be fair, even the 2015 Champions League that he won, which he scored in every round, which is very commendable.
He won in the final as well.
The best two players for Barcelona. Best two were Messi and Suarez. I think that was actually Suarez's best season in Barcelona, not even the 59 goal season.
I think it was that season.
Neymar was like the third wheel.
Yeah, the third wheel.
Coming in, just.
And it's easier to be the third wheel because.
Because he's just there for.
All right, so Neymar ahead.
So Neymar before Lewandowski?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Yeah, I think I can live with that.
I think the fact that Lewandowski has scored, first of all, he's the third top scorer of the decade. He has scored 40 goals in 3 consecutive seasons and has gone under the radar. And now he has 20-something goals already. So he's doing 40.
He's doing 40 again.
That means you're going to have a striker that has scored 40 consecutive seasons.
When you think about the different managers he's had to play under, he never threw the tantrum. He just gets his job done. Goal scoring.
The minus for him has been those CL ties when people expected more. Like
just a little more.
He couldn't deliver and all that. So, of course, everybody has a minus. But for the positives, and he has been Golden Boot winner how many years in Germany?
So, where's Ramos? Sorry.
then I think Ramos should be higher than.
What number are we on now?
Seven is Lewandowski.
No, six is.
Suarez.
Six is Suarez.
Seven is Suarez.
Lewandowski is six. No, Neymar should be six.
Lewandowski fifth.
Got
fifth. Ramos comes in at number
Ramos
four.
Robin number three. Okay, number yes.
Fine.
That's fine.
I achieved my dream.
No, I. In terms of Robin, I always felt that Robin was incontestably top five. But let's talk about Ramos for now. Sergio Ramos, what can one say about Ramos, really? There are so many moments. He has so many great moments when everything was on the line and he pulled something out.
And I think one thing that is often overlooked about Ramos, because everyone likes to say he can't defend.
Which is a ridiculous...
I just wouldn't have him in my team. I think he can defend.
I mean, the manner in which Real Madrid have built their team, their Champions League conquering team, it's pretty attacking too. You have Ramos overly exposed most of the time.
Because you have Marcelo going. This is something that I pointed out back in 2009-2010 about Real Madrid. But that time, Ramos was one of the criminals. Well, Ramos and Marcelo. Is it Raul Albiol? Many people talk about Raul Albiol as someone who as just flop. Went and yeah. flopped at Madrid. But Raul Albiol, 2009-2010, he was probably Madrid's best defender. But what happened? Every time Marcelo goes, Ramos was still the right back, Ramos goes. Do you know what it means to have Marcelo and Ramos as fullbacks? You're in trouble.
That's a lot of exposure. So
then you had Albiol and Pepe trying to cover.
Yeah, all of that space.
Fullbacks have gone. I have two position attackers. So now Ramos is suffering the same thing that he puts Albiol through. Because now
there's some kind of karma.
Fullbacks
kind of karma.
That are just bombing forward and just leaving space. And if you check, Ramos has high. People think that Ramos just tackles, but he also intercepts a lot.
Yeah.
Because he's forced to come out and be proactive and make that decision. And sometimes it can expose you. Can ask Ayman Abdino, the worst defender I've ever seen in Valencia. When you come out, you are very Maguire, we're talking about this.
Yeah.
You're very prone to getting cut out.
Yeah.
It's very easy for just I mean if you're
David Luiz, is also prone of that.
Yeah.
But Messi is the one approaching, you know how fast he is, and you just come out.
You can just be eliminated easily.
And that is where Ramos excels. He times that so well.
He's very good.
One of the best defensive performances I've seen in recent years was Sergio Ramos against Ajax last season in the first leg away at the Amsterdam Arena. He was suspended for the second leg and Real Madrid totally collapsed. But in that first leg, he was literally the only reason that Real Madrid won that particular game. Yeah. Literally the only reason. I think
Ramos has a lot of performances, a lot of big performances defensively in Europe.
Yes.
Because there are so many times that people will say this attack is going to finish Real Madrid.
But and Ramos just
puts in, like when they played PSG, when he shot down Mbappe, he just made him like a child that he was. Just like, okay, Mbappe, I know that you are good, but
you don't play around here.
You don't play around here.
Shut down Davia in the 2014 final.
I think we agree. Ramos is on number five,
number four.
So, Robin.
So, number three, Iron Robin.
Robin has to come in number three. I think we made a great case for Iron Robin.
Yeah, we did.
We just have to cut out that part and put it here.
But
Robin has been amazing as a footballer. And it's funny because before we walked into the room today, I never thought Robin would be number three. Mm. But I always thought it would be interesting to see where Robin ends up. And it's actually quite interesting that it ends up in number three.
And I think that that 2010, of course, in 2010, the World Cup, he was one of the driving forces along with Sneijder for the Netherlands. And then, of course, he messed up in the final by not, you know, converting those.
And made up for it the following year.
Yeah, but I think he made up for it in 2014.
2014.
Yeah, 2014.
2014, he was even better.
Yeah, he was.
That team was rubbish.
Ronaldo and
he really elevated that Louis van Gaal team because the talent level was way lower than they had in 2010.
And he played like
it was Robin van Persie in the team. Yeah, but I think the key philosophy of that team was fast breaks, and he was at the center of every fast break.
I mean, his performance against Spain in that opening game is one of the most devastating individual performances ever.
I mean, Van Persie as well in that game was...
Because it was crazy, because no one had seen Spain like that.
Against Ramos and Piqué in their peak years.
Yes. No one knew this was possible against Spain. And, you know, after that, everybody then kind of like, okay, yeah, it was always obvious that they were coming down. But it wasn't in that first game. And Robben made it obvious with that performance. So he has to get in. I think, genuinely, after Messi, in my lifetime, left foot.
I don't think it's better left foot than Robben after Messi. To be fair, I think Robben van Persie comes in just not too far off. But it's a great argument. It's a great analysis you make. So number three sees Robben. It's gonna be interesting. Who makes the?
No. Let's just leave it that way. I think it's fine. We're done. The wrap.
Yes.
The top two.
We can just look at them as this amorphous mass.
That fight is still going on somewhat.
So we have 1-1-3.
I was thinking about
You have 1-1-3. You actually have to skip one.
I was trying to decide. Okay,
no, you skip one. You have the 1-1 bracket.
Some had the better 20.
Tied on one.
Better 2012. And by the end, I had 5-5. So
you still let's hopefully this doesn't elongate the talk, but I think it depends on what you're ranking here. When you're looking at the top two, we're done with the ranking. If you're ranking who has had the better decade, and if you're ranking who the better player is, I think you end up with different outcomes. That's what I think. I think if you're ranking who the better player is, Messi.
Yeah.
If you're ranking who has had the better decade, I genuinely think it's Ronaldo. Mm. But that's...
Because
beats four champions.
The peak...
I think nothing does. Yeah. Nothing does. And when you do it that way...
The peak backer was not in this decade.
Right. Was not in this decade. So when you put it, so it would be unfair to...
Back to back.
So it would be unfair to... Let's just leave it at the top two.
And if you add the performances with Portugal...
Exactly. There's that too.
Then it's fair to actually put it number one.
I don't want to start
Let it be clear for the record that I was not here when this happened.
But then let's just recap from the number 20 to the top two.
Yeah.
Number 20, obviously, we brought in Eden Hazard. Help me if I miss any. Okay. Number 19 saw Giorgio Chiellini.
Yeah.
Number 17.
Number 18.
I always miss. Number 18.
Antoine
Griezmann. 17. Mesut Ozil.
Yeah.
16, Kante.
Yes.
15, Godin.
14, Silva. David Silva, that is.
David Silva.
13,
Luka Modric.
Luka Modric. Number 12,
Marcelo. 11, Kunaguero.
Kunaguero at 11.
10, Cavani.
Cerebron's dream was fulfilled. Number 9,
Manonoya.
Manonoya came in. Number 8,
Dani Alves,
fantastic defender.
Number 7.
Suarez.
Number 6.
Number 6, Neymar.
Robert Lewandowski.
No, Neymar.
Neymar.
5 is Lewandowski. Number 4 is Sergio Ramos.
And number 3, Robben.
And Robben, the top two, make of it what you will.
Exactly.
But let's just do this honorary mentions before we wrap it up, because we're actually
out of time.
Yeah, Touré, anybody?
Not for me.
Not enough. Not enough peak years within that decade. Yeah, Touré's best level, he was pretty much done by 2014. So, not enough peak years for me.
Let's move on to that. Who else would you
Tony Cruz. And of course, no Champions League moment.
Tony Cruz.
Would have made my team.
Tony Cruz would have made it 20.
Yes, yeah, he should have. He should have made it 20.
Ibra as well. If you're putting Cavani, you have to put Ibra.
You have to put Zlatan also.
Ibra was done by...
I think...
Ibra...
2016.
I think Ibra was done before that.
2016.
In terms of peak... Peak level Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I don't know where to put him here. The problem with Ibrahimovic is that he's so much. There's so much around him as a person, as an individual, as some kind of idea of something that it's hard to really rank him anywhere. And really, what did he do in the decade beyond karate kick some goals in? And win some Puskas Awards.
For someone with the level of expectation, around him, Zlatan, this is the guy. he really should have led PSG to at least the semi-finals.
Of the Champions
because
League.
In those, I mean, he let PSG down twice when he got sent off. He got sent off against Valencia, but they pulled through. That was 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. But they pulled through. He got sent off in the first leg mm-hmm. of the second round, but somehow they were able to pull through and get to the quarterfinals. And then when he came back, nothing happened. Barcelona knocked them off.
Yeah.
Then in against Chelsea, he also let them down. He got red carded.
The decade before,
Inter against Liverpool is where he let them down.
Yeah, so I think that too.
I always thought before this decade, the big games.
Yeah.
Actually, when you really look at it, if Zlatan died at 30, in 2011, nobody.
We wouldn't miss anything.
We don't miss too much about Zlatan. So. We wouldn't miss anything. But the quotes have been amazing.
to be perfectly honest, I personally find Zlatan very boring at this point.
I do.
I'm tired of the whole circus around him.
I think he's a great player.
People like what they like.
He has that aura.
As the president. He's someone that, you know, generally you'd be like, okay, this guy is like a colossus.
Yeah.
But in terms of delivering, he doesn't have a World Cup.
It's like that green monster in the Wizard of Oz, and then you find out there's just one little man behind doing all the whole smoke and light and everything.
And it's first, second.
We get the point.
Thomas Muller.
We can call this Ibrahimovic bashing.
Thomas Muller has a case.
Thomas Muller should have made it. To be fair, I love him as a player. I thought he redefined space in football at the time. I think there was a genuine perspective and context to Muller's play. I think to be second top scorer.
There's a name they call it. I can't really.
A name was created for Thomas Muller.
If you look at it in terms of impact on football, he has,
and he's the second top scorer in the World Cup.
Is he now?
He's got 13 goals, hasn't he?
Okay, yeah. He's got five.
Yeah.
That's 10.
I think he's got 13 goals or thereabouts, something like that.
About 13.
And he has the fourth highest assist this decade behind Messi, Ozil, Di Maria.
In top five leagues.
He's amazing.
Yeah. Oh,
Di Maria should have got a mention, to be fair.
No. Inconsistent.
Way too inconsistent, to be honest.
And when he finally got the chance to carry a team.
At PSG.
Not even PSG. First man
United, yeah.
First United.
Coward.
Yeah. Ran away.
At PSG. He just gets it.
Builds the anticipation and then doesn't quite follow through.
Fire. When it's time.
Yeah. But he scored some amazing scrimmage. Who else gets into the mentions?
Say Bonucci, but I mean, we have Fellaini.
No way.
Harry Kane, because you've had the last 4 years.
Harry Kane's time would come, I feel.
Yes.
But it's only been a decade. Half of it's gone here.
I kind of feel like, if a couple of years down the line, if we are doing a ranking from 2015 to 2025 or something, you have Harry Kane
in there. Kane could have been there. I think that's
all. Yeah,
that's pretty much it. Yeah. Well, that's been the Hindsight Podcast. Do well to subscribe to the Hindsight Podcast on Google Podcast, and we've been looking forward to more podcasts. It's been interesting having you, Cerebro, on the show.
Thank you.
You've actually had the most fulfilled ranking today. First, you had Cavani at 10.
Two dreams.
He got everything he wanted.
Ramos and Robert.
I can't imagine.
And he actually got it. And that's great, actually. Well, it's been good to have you as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you stay in the front burners more than the background. So, Liz, your opinions have been absolutely ridiculous. And I say that in a good way.
Lovely.
Luckily, it was part of the short list. Unfortunately, you couldn't make it for the podcast, but we certainly enjoyed every single argument and misconceptions back and forth. It's been more than what we thought it would be, and hopefully you enjoyed it as much as we did. So, yeah, we had the benefit of hindsight all the way, and we certainly would be relying on that for the subsequent episodes. Jose Mourinho is at Tottenham, and hopefully that journey goes quite well down the line. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.